The reading this morning is from Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 1 to 14, and it is on your news sheet if you want to follow it. It's entitled Wisdom. A good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death better than the day of birth. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. It is better to heed a wise man's rebuke than to listen to the song of fools. Like the crackling of thorns under the pot, so is the laughter of fools. This too is meaningless. Extortion turns a wise man into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Do not say, "Why were the old days better than these?" For it is not wise to ask such questions. Wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this, that wisdom preserves the life of its possessor. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what he has made crooked? When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider. God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, a man cannot discover anything about this future. This is the word of the Lord.
I was talking with one of our younger members during the week and asking what sort of Christmas they'd had and what they'd had for Christmas presents. And there was a point in the conversation where they said to me, "I'm really sad Christmas is over. I wish it could be Christmas every day." Now, those of you of a certain age will remember a song that goes, "I wish it could be Christmas every day." And I said, "Really? Do you really wish it was Christmas every day?" "Oh, yeah. All that food and not going to school and..." "Oh, yeah, yeah, no, no, definitely." "Really? You wish it was Christmas every day?" "Oh, yeah. Why?" "Because I'd get lots of presents." And that child, if they really mean that, are going to spend the next 360-odd days wishing it was yesterday, wishing it was last week, and looking forward to something else. And it'd be so easy to miss all that's coming each new day by looking back and wishing that we were still yesterday, that we were still last week, wishing it was still Christmas Day. I love the book of Ecclesiastes. I love Proverbs and I love Ecclesiastes. They're just so pithy and so sensible. And when you read them through the first time, you think, actually, some of these sayings are really hard. And they're not. If you break them down and just take them one at a time, they're really, really easy. One of my favourites in Proverbs is the verse that says, "Drunkards drink, liars lie." And what it means is quite simple. If someone's got a problem with drink, they're going to drink. Don't be surprised when someone who has a problem with drink drinks. You know, so often if we've got someone or there's somebody maybe we're working with in church or even someone in our family and we know they've got a drink problem and they've been not drinking for a few days and then they turn up and they've had a drink, we're so disappointed, aren't we? We feel so let down. It feels so... And these Proverbs say, don't be surprised. Don't be upset. Don't be disappointed. That's life. Drinkers drink. And when there's somebody who you know is prone to tell lies, tells a lie, don't be disappointed and don't be surprised, because that's what happens. And it's just so pithy and simple and straightforward and down to earth. And I just want to think about this one verse in here this morning from the reading that we had. There was so much in there, but just one verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And it's verse 10. "Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it's not wise to ask such questions." As a nation, and particularly in our churches, we have this habit of saying, "Oh, weren't the old days better? Oh, I wish that it was still and then you can insert whatever year you were young. I wish it was still 1980. I wish it was still 1970. I wish it was still 1952. Oh, the old days were so much better than these. And the scriptures say, don't do that. To do that isn't wise. To spend your life looking back and saying, oh, I wish we were back then. If only it was yesterday, everything would be absolutely fine. But I don't like today. I don't like the modern world. I don't like the way things are done now. If only it could be yesterday. And the scriptures say, don't do that. That's foolishness. And it's foolishness for a couple of reasons. First of all, because actually yesterday wasn't what you remember anyway. You might have a particular fondness for a point in history and remember it with rose-tinted glasses. Let me promise you, it wasn't like that anyway. You're just remembering the good bits. And the second thing is, when we do that, when we're forever looking back and wishing it was still another time, we miss what God's got for us today. The end of a year, as one year finishes, there's lots of programs on the television and on the radio, and there's articles in our newspapers, aren't there, saying, remember the year that was, all the things that happened. And we spend this time, particularly at a new year, looking back and remembering. And sometimes looking back with fondness and saying, oh, actually, I like that. I wish that was still going on. The scriptures say, that's foolishness. To forever wish it was yesterday is foolishness. God has got things for you today. And that reading says, whether it's good things or bad things, and there'll be a mixture in 2012, remember, God is making them all anyway, and God is with us. But he's there with us in the good times, and he's there with us in the bad times. So don't say, I wish it was still 2011. You know, New Year's Eve, my mum always cries. Always. She's one of those people who's sad that the old year is finishing. Some people are really sad a year is finishing. Some people are people who are naturally always happy a new one's beginning. She's one of those people who's always regretting that the last year has finished. And she weeps. The scriptures say, don't say, why can't it be yesterday? Why can't it be last year? Why can't it be last decade? Why can't it be the last church I knew? Why can't it be the old version of doing things? Why can't it be the old minister? That was so much better than today. Scriptures say that's not wise. There's a memorial in that corner. I was reading this just a few weeks ago. Somebody has lent me the diary, the memoirs, of David Davis, whose memoir is in that corner on the white plaque. And I'd already read about his funeral. I'd read it in the Penarth Times. I'd gone back and found the old copy in the records, the Western Mail. I'd gone back and I'd looked at that. And I'd read about it in the history of the church, about when David Davis died, thousands turned out for his funeral. There were hundreds of people everywhere, and everybody was saying what a marvelous man he was, and what a great minister, and wasn't he was fantastic. And the next minister, after David Davis, had this problem of everyone saying, oh, you're not as good as the last bloke. I remember what the last bloke was like, and he was great. We wish it was still yesterday. But I've got the memoirs. I had the copy of the memoirs, the diaries, of David Davis. And when he'd not been here very long, something quite extraordinary happened, which was he was sacked. He'd only been here a couple of years, and the deacons and the elders in those days appointed and fired the ministers. It wasn't the church meeting, it was the deacons. And the deacons sacked him and said to him, you're not doing enough visiting, we don't want you to be our minister anymore. Don't come. Well, it came around to the following Sunday, and he turned up. And he turned up with his Bible and with his sermon and in his best suit. And the deacon said to him, one of the deacons said to him, Reverend Davis, you're no longer our minister. We've got rid of you. And he said to them, you've got rid of me, but God hasn't. And he got in the pulpit and he preached the sermon. And the following Sunday he turned up again. And he preached a sermon. And the following Sunday he turned up again and he preached a sermon. And after a few weeks the deacons gave up and said, oh, it's okay, you can be our minister again. And he just carried on then for years and years and years. And when he died, everyone said, wasn't he our greatest minister? But people forgot, when they were burying him, that not that many years before they'd sacked him. See, whenever we look back, we remember the good things. We remember the high points. And we look back with a fondness that actually doesn't always do justice. And the scriptures say, don't do that. Don't look back and say, yesterday was better than today. The old days were better than these. Why? Because to ask, to say such things is not wise. 2012 is a new year. And good things happened in 2011. But even better things are yet to come. Junior reminded me last night of Ronald Reagan when he quoted a previous president saying, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. So often, we're more like Winston Churchill, who looked back and said, if our empire lasts 1,000 years, we'll still say, those were the days. That was our finest hour. But Reagan reminded America a number of years ago, the best is yet to come. 2012, we don't know what the future holds, and that scripture refers to that. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We can't see into the future, but we know this. Consider this. Consider what God has done, it says. When times are good, be happy, because God is in them. But when times are bad, remember God made that too, that God is there too. The good times and the bad times in 2012, God will be with us. The best is yet to come. And therefore, we can rejoice and be glad. Thanks be to God. May now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love this day and this year, through the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's close by saying together the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.